The Around the NFL Podcast knows how to get through to millennials.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes. Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal, and yes, Colleen Wolf.
What's up? Great.
I like that.
That was you. Me this morning.
You're an actual wolf woman.
We don't have our cans on today. I forgot to say hey, Dan.
Well, listen, we're a little out of our... There's some new technology right now. TD incorporating. Everybody's uncomfortable about it. Mostly me. But Wes, especially. We're using, in the industry, what are called... What, TD? Lob mics?
Lav mics.
Lobs with a V?
Lavalier.
Yep.
Hey, Dan.
See, Colleen, she's an expert, man.
Lavalier. In relation to old Pirates catcher Spanky Lavalier?
What is that reference?
He's a catcher for the Pirates.
In 1887.
Oh, in like the early 90s.
Oh, really?
Mike Lavalier? Any West references that no one under the age of 35 has any idea what he's talking about.
Colleen, how the hell are you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Great, really good. Uh-huh. Super excited.
I feel like it's been a while.
It has been. We were talking on my flight back from Philly. I was really excited.
Yeah, we were discussing over text while Colleen was flying back here, and you were very excited to chat. Clearly lonely on the airplane.
I had nobody to talk to, and yeah. I was going crazy, and I just wanted somebody to text me back. And so Dan started texting me
back. Dan was the only one that would.
I'm a dependable dude. I'm the guy that, you know, helps people out. Hey, very big show today. Mm. Like, I legitimately mean that. We have a lot to get to today. Greg, the Making the Leap series is in full bloom now. And the number 19 out of 20 entry was my boy, Geno Smith of the New York Jets. And as soon as I read Greg's fantastic piece, and I did read it.
It's the first thing that I've ever read that I wrote. You have to write a wildly complimentary piece about a Jets player to get that.
I didn't even know Greg wrote for Around the NFL until I read that piece. But it was a very thought-provoking piece at the very least. So we're going to talk about Geno Smith. And we're also going to check in with Kevin Patra, who is at the Rookie Symposium. Where is that?
That's in Ohio, Aurora. But they made a trip to Berea in Cleveland, which is about an hour away.
The Indian burial ground.
They also went to the Hall of Fame in Canton. But yeah, Aurora.
Does every state have an Aurora? It feels like it. Wasn't that where Wayne's World was?
Yes.
It was where Wayne's World was.
Aurora, Illinois.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So maybe there is an Aurora everywhere.
That's a theory.
We will also do something we did last year. Now, I meant to check if we got this right. I'm sure we did, because some brilliant football minds in here. We are going to declare on June 25th who is not a contender for the Super Bowl this year. Outright, no chance. Maybe it's like the precursor to our Stick a Fork in 'em series, which I don't think we do that anymore, but... We will decide which teams, you know, if you're a fan base, still listen to the podcast, obviously. But understand that while you might enjoy and have fun following your team, it will not end in San Francisco in February. No chance.
Well, they call this the season of hope, and we're ending that season for some fans.
Well, it
today.
Needs to be ended.
There
is
are
this Super Bowl contender or playoff contender?
Super Bowl contender.
No. Oh, we're going to eliminate, like, 27 teams today.
No, I think even playoff contender. I mean, if you make the playoffs, you could win the Super Bowl.
That's right. Not true. The Bengals can't win the Super Bowl.
Well, we'll get into all that. It's something we'll get into. And, of course, we're going to bring it back after a one-week hiatus, even though it's only been around 1 week. Are you kidding me? With Connor Orr, our New Jersey correspondent for Around the NFL. So, yes, a lot to get to, but before... We do any of that. We check behind the glass. TD pushing us into boundaries that make us uncomfortable as usual. But listen, all for a greater good, right?
That's what it is. Like Game of Thrones, man. That's why the throne is, you know, made of swords. You can't get too comfortable. You know, always gonna be pushing. Either way, they're about, to my count, about 20.
That's
plus.
Good to move on from that analogy.
None of us plus. Watch Game of Thrones.
I do.
No, come Dan on. Does. Dan does. Like, you guys need to stop. Dan is actually one of us. You know, like, He tries to act like as you guys sound all old, but Dan, you know, Dan gets down.
I don't think it's not because I'm old. It's because I, you know, there's only so much
I'm a little
time.
Plugged in. I'm a little more plugged into pop culture than my colleagues probably.
Yeah. A lot. More.
At some point, yeah. TD, yeah. You're going to realize you have a finite amount of time on this earth, and you just wasted like 15 years watching Super
Transformers sequels. Anyway, your point.
Point is, Aurora has, to my count, 20. There are 20 different cities in the United States. At least two in New York. That's really random. So just thought
that's a great fun fact.
Two in New York?
There's two in New York, yes.
That's very confusing.
Did you find out who the Nigerian president was yet?
I did. I told you last time.
What was it?
Buhari or something.
Muhammadu Buhari.
Yeah, I know. I know what's going on.
All right.
I have a fun movie story, but I won't tell it. I don't want to... bug you guys down.
That's a great tease.
That's what's called a tease for something that will never happen.
Let's do some news.
All right. Well, you don't want to hear a story, but never mind. I'm not going to tell it.
I mean, we're busy. We got a lot of stuff to get to.
Let's get to it.
How good is the story?
It's just weird. That's all. It's interesting.
All right. Tell the story. All right, cool. We got
to
hear it now.
So, you have to now.
This movie Dope came out last week because I go to the barbershop. Right. I'm about to go see the movie Dope. I'm getting my hair cut. And the barber gets a call from his sister who lets him know that he's in the movie Dope in a barbershop scene. You know? So I was like, how random is that? That's all it is.
That's the story?
That's the story. I went to see the movie Dope, and I got my hair cut by the guy at barbershop in the movie Dope.
I hope the movie is better than the story.
Wow.
Let's do some news. My goodies, my goodies, my goodies, not
my goodies. Hit single of Ciara, probably her best single ever, and that's what Russell Wilson's all about right now.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is it's interesting what he's going for. He's one of the more milquetoast NFL stars, and I think he's trying to add a little edge, so he's getting Ciara in the mix, who's, you know, kind of a frisky R&B star. They're dating, supposedly, and he posted kind of, you know, I'm not going to say it was an inappropriate image of Ciara,
no.
But...
one of those type of, you know, sultry type images that he used Google for.
Oh, did he?
I mean, yeah. It's
always good to artificially construct an edge instead of just being yourself.
So you're saying this is one of those relationships constructed by publicists and it doesn't even really
right.
Exist.
Well, it's incredibly lame.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to, you know, post a picture of your girlfriend, use your personal photos, not Google. That's all I'm saying.
She's
words
attractive.
To live by.
All right, let's get to some news. Ciara and Russell Wilson. Good luck to you kids. All right, we'll start with Peyton Manning, who, as we all know, in the offseason, there were some whispers about what his future was in Denver. They wanted him to take a pay cut. He eventually did take a pay cut. And then we had a report that came out that there were some talks or there was some buzz between the Texans and the Broncos about a trade in the offseason. The Texans were one of the teams that were in the mix originally before Peyton Manning signed with the Broncos. So there was a report that those two teams had had some preliminary type talks about a potential deal that has been swatted down in multiple places, including our own NFL media insider Ian Rappaport, who was on the Rich Eisen show Wednesday. He said talks, an account of the alleged trade talks was, quote, not how it went down. Here's what Ian said. I do believe there was some conversation between the Texans and several teams who have quarterbacks. What it sounds like is that the Texans reached out to teams and tried to see what was there. So, Greg, we'll start with you on this one. It sounds like just due diligence by one team doesn't mean that the Broncos were looking to trade their greatest quarterback of his generation.
Well, it's not even the first time we heard about this. Matt Money Smith talked about that he had heard from someone who would know that there had been some conversations between the Texans and the Broncos weeks ago. Money said that, right?
He did. It was on the Move the Sticks podcast.
Well, if we try not to bring that up here.
What is that? Is that something that
he's
exists?
Sweating all of a sudden.
It happens like 5 months during the year.
I don't like what it is.
So, on one hand, the idea that they would talk makes some sense. Because the most important or interesting thing I thought out of this whole storyline was that the Broncos initially asked Peyton Manning to take a $10 million pay cut. And they did ultimately shove a $4 million pay cut down his throat. So if they were willing to ask him to take a $10 million pay cut, and he had to take, they had to have been willing to move on from him this offseason. I mean, you can't tell a guy to take a pay cut like that without being ready for what's behind door number two, which is just say, sorry, cut me.
I think that's interesting. And the other part that Money talked about was that the Broncos perhaps considered this, along with the pay cut thing, that they they view Brock Osweiler as a guy who's ready like Aaron Rodgers was ready. That's the way money put it. And, you know, Rob Sheet told us last January that I can tell you from sources inside the Broncos organization, this is a guy they feel very good about. So we haven't seen much of Brock Osweiler other than preseason action, but apparently the Broncos are a lot higher on him than most people around the country are.
And look, every team is going to do this at the end of the season, too, even with the changes that they had. They bring in a new coach, Gary Kubiak's there. I mean, of course, they're probably not going to trade him, but they kind of have to see what's out there and what teams are willing to offer.
Well, it makes sense to me that the Texans would call to see what's up, because that would be a great situation for them. The conflicting reports really come from who in Denver would possibly have been ready to move on from Peyton Manning. Logic tells you John Elway is the one calling all the shots. Is he the guy that would be excited about going to Brock Osweiler? There was other reports that John Fox really wanted to move on without Peyton Manning, and perhaps that was one of the reasons why when he left, John Elway said, we didn't see things the same way in terms of how we're going to move forward. That makes that a little more believable. Because ultimately, John Elway could have moved on for him. He didn't. He's paying him $15 million a year. He's on the team.
Well, I think every organization, there's a faction that wants something that maybe the vice president or the general manager doesn't want. And that faction is usually who the reports come from.
Gut feeling. I'll go around the horn real quick. Peyton Manning on the Broncos next season. Colleen, yes
no.
or no? Wes?
I say no.
Greg?
I'd say no.
Yes, feels make or break this year.
Sessler's premonition about retirement, I mean, he almost got it right here this year. Peyton Manning is very much year to year. He's 40 years old at this point. I mean, I would think, though, he's either going to be with the Broncos or his career's over. I don't think there's another team.
Emmanuel Sanders recently came out and said he believes this is not Peyton Manning's final year. Mm. But I think it's going to come down to, can he do it physically? And I'm not sure he can.
Move the sticks is about first downs. We're about touchdowns. How's that?
Wow. All right.
Home run.
You guys can hear Move the Sticks' response in his next podcast in 2017.
Oh, next week.
Moving on. All right. The update out of New England or out of New York, where Tom Brady, he had his appeal hearing, of course, on Tuesday. It lasted over 10 hours. His attorney, Jeffrey Kessler, said that the timetable afterwards for a ruling was up in the air. Rap Sheet reported on Wednesday's edition of NFL Total Access that the appeal, the post-hearing briefs for the appeal are due late next week. So Roger Goodell will then have to process those briefs, which means no decision is imminent. So it sounds like for the next week or two, or who knows how long, this will hang in the air, Colleen. Are you surprised that this is something that could drag out beyond Tuesday into days and weeks?
No, not at all. But I think the most interesting thing I saw that came out of this was that Brady's appeal, offered full explanations to every question and more context than was provided to Ted Wells, which I hadn't really thought about before. And I'm wondering what other context that he didn't put in that report. You guys saw how long that report was. I guess that's why the meeting lasted so long. But I could see this dragging on.
I wish I could see the interactions between Brady's lawyers and Ted Wells, because Ted Wells is in that meeting.
Mm.
Awkward, you know? I mean, they have basically slammed him. There's a lot of funny things about this Tom Brady thing. One is that one of the first things we put in our article after the appeal ended was that both sides agreed to a confidentiality agreement, and so that there wouldn't be any leaks, you know, about what happened in that room. Within 24 hours, there was an article on ESPN saying what an amazing job Tom Brady did in that room, and that he was so credible. And that literally the quote was, Tom Brady was Tom Brady's biggest asset on Tuesday. And then immediately there's another report which came more from an NFL side, leaked out, saying, you know, Tom Brady didn't give us anything basically that he didn't the first time. So everyone completely broke the confidentiality agreement.
The vibe in our newsroom on that Tuesday, everybody had to wait around for hours for it to end. Everybody thought Tom Brady would come out at the end of the meeting. He ended up going out through, you know, the underground tunnel or whatever. So that was funny to watch live on the feeds. Everyone in the office let down. And then there was the scramble, because there was no leaks initially. And then there was an ESPN report where we heard, obviously, the Brady side of it. And then this wild little piece of an ESPN report. I'll read it. Patriots owner Bob Kraft, who was on a trip to Israel with a group of Pro Football Hall of Famers, sent a sworn affidavit backing Brady. One source said the affidavit was very compelling and had, quote, an almost a holy feel to it. What? What is happening? What are you even talking about?
Greg, Tom Brady couldn't resist leaking the air out of footballs. So how's he going to resist leaking information?
We are on fire.
Is there a drum roll?
The move of sticks, touchdown thing, this now, home runs.
I don't know. I mean, nothing ever came out about two teams were heating footballs this year, the Vikings and
Panthers. Well, that was in a game against each other, yeah.
But that's still against the rules.
Right.
And they just got fined.
Arbitrary, capricious.
This whole thing, I have less to say now about this Brady appeal than I did about the J.J. Watt selfie celebration video that we recorded this morning.
We've done a lot of crazy things.
I mean, just to peel this back, we're doing some NFL Now videos now. We're pretending it's week 8 to practice for the season, just as a little sample.
Greg pulls back the curtain.
We know a whole lot about week 8 right now.
If you want to see some acting chops, just watch Dan Hansis pretend to have a hot take about whether Mike Smith is going to get fired or not, pretending it's the middle of last season.
More wooden than the Trojan horse.
Sorry, we're going.
That video is more sealed off than the Brady meeting.
Yeah, no one will ever see it. Thank you.
All right, moving on. All right, I'm going to set the table for the scientist Chris Wessling here a little bit. Jacksonville Jaguars haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver in 10 years. What? Chris Wessling thinks there are two guys that have a chance to do it this year. Second-year wide receiver Allen Robinson, who has had a, quote, unbelievable performance in offseason practices, and Julius Thomas, who, of course, came over from Denver, big free agent signing. Wes, why are you so excited about the Jaguars? Who does
well,
that?
I'm just excited to be able to talk about the Bermuda Triangle of the NFL, you know, one of those teams from the Southeast that you're not allowed to talk about because they don't exist. So I think it's fun that the Jaguars, look, Allen Robinson, everybody was raving about him. Julius Thomas, he's going to be the focal point of their offense. Look at their offensive line. They've got three guys who could come in and be starters. Blake Bortles is fixing his mechanics. This
Jeremy
could be the
Parnell
most...
they brought in, though, and he was a backup last year. He only has 7 career starts.
And he's still way better than whoever they had playing
well,
right
true.
Tackle last year.
And he spells his name weird.
Yeah, that's true.
With
no
right.
E at the end.
Jeremy?
Look at Colleen. You got the Parnell hot take here. Are you excited about the Jaguars?
I want to be. I wish I could, but I'm not really there yet. I like Gus Bradley. I like what he does. I like Julius Thomas there and Blake Bortles, and I'd like to see Blake Bortles take that next step. But
I'm with Wes. The Titans and the Jaguars are both more interesting now. I think the Jaguars are going to finish second place in that division. I think Bortles has a lot of potential to be a really fun quarterback to watch, and I think Dan should talk next.
No, I'm saying, oh my God, you're all in on the Jags. Second place finish. How many wins?
I said that months ago that I think the Jaguars are going to have the season that kind of people expected them to have last year. This year, that's 7 or 8 wins. It's a lousy division.
Okay,
eight win type of team.
I will throw out there that some of us more than others were very amped up about the Jaguars last year.
Right,
with the same leadership. We have some different players in the mix this year, but we didn't see a lot from Blake Bortles last year.
I think the one who was pumped up about the Jaguars is not here today.
Well, he was pumped up about Toby Gerhart, Mr. Mark Sessler.
That's amazing.
He was expecting a lot of yardage out of Toby. But, yeah, I mean, Julius Thomas, that's the one guy, if I had to throw somebody out there, that I'd be the most nervous about in terms of when you look at who are the free agent busts. It's a big drop-off from healthy Peyton Manning to uneven and unproven Blake Bortles. So I don't know if I'm ready to think that he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
He'll be their only target, though. He'll be their number one target, at least. Right?
Julius Thomas is a good player. This notion that he's a product of Peyton Manning is just altogether untrue.
It's a really interesting young receiver group. If you put that receiver group on the Patriots, that those guys could be stars. Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas. And there's depth there. It's weird to see a rookie quarterback with 3 rookie receivers that are all pretty good. They could improve a lot.
Ahmad Bradshaw, moving on, guys. Ahmad Bradshaw is facing a 1-game suspension for violating the league's policy and program on substances of abuse, a league spokesman confirmed to Around the NFL on Monday. This goes back to Bradshaw, who is a free agent right now, running back, pleaded not guilty to a marijuana possession charge earlier this year. He's recovered from his fractured fibula. Greg, I know when we made that sandwich wager, you thought Bradshaw would be giving you some tally when we were trying to figure out how much guaranteed money. It never happened, and this is part of the reason why, I guess.
And I'm going to owe you a sandwich because the two of the guys we just talked about a couple weeks ago, go give them a job, Ahmad Bradshaw and Pierre Thomas, they don't have jobs. They should be on a team. Even though Ahmad Bradshaw is suspended, he should be on a team.
Yeah, we mentioned last time we talked about him that they would probably wait until week two to sign him because that's when veteran contracts are no longer guaranteed. That makes some sense, especially if you have a one-game suspension.
By the way, I am loyal to Ahmad Bradshaw, a member of the L.A. Greybeards, along with Pierre Thomas.
29, right?
Still in my clubhouse, waiting for the phone to ring. No suspension on my team.
Do you make any phone calls on their behalf?
Or
would you rather keep them?
For Colleen or any listeners that didn't check this article out, Dan made an all-star team of older gentlemen who could use some work.
Some work.
And L.A. Greybeards.
By older guys that are, in Greg and I's case, 5 or 6 years younger and less 15 or so.
And in 15!
In an amazing physical shape.
Pristine men. So they have a home on my roster. Not everyone's.
By the way, shout out to Pierre Thomas, who gave me a nice little life thrill by following me on Twitter after we mentioned him for Go Get Him a Job. An appreciative Pierre Thomas.
Are we already in the humble brag portion of today's podcast?
There's nothing humble about it. Who's humble?
I don't know. All right. And finally, Wes, this is important for you to know. Consider this the teachable moment, and then it's all just keeping in your mind for down the stretch. The Titans announced a new partnership. Their stadium is now called Nissan Stadium.
It was LP Field.
Very good.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to whisper that, too, every time you say it.
Nissan Stadium. Sounds like a place where champions are born.
I hope Damashek's listening.
kind of fits, though, the Titans, like a dependable...
Not too
flashy. Nondescript, relatively.
Maybe a little better than you realize.
I owned a Sentra back in the day. Like a 90.
Why don't you just pass up the $3.7 million that you got from Nissan and call it Titans Field? I don't know. Maybe they got more than $3.7 million.
Probably.
It's a thought.
That is what's happening. All right, moving on. Let's keep rolling. We'll get into the Making the Leap entry number 19 on the list. He is, a former West Virginia product, a second-round pick. You know, the Jets, they wisely went out and got him. They nurtured him for 2 years. And Greg says it's going to pay off now because in year three of the Geno Smith experience, he will make the leap and become, all right, maybe not a Pro Bowl star, but in Greg's estimation, a top 20, back end, a top 20 quarterback. And maybe, that's enough to make the Jets a playoff team. Is everything I said accurate, Greg?
That's true. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar. People have to, people came at me that, look, this guy's never going to be a Pro Bowler. That's not the point. He can be a guy that is not the reason why the Jets lose games. He can be a guy who's kind of a middle of the road, Alex Smith or Andy Dalton type, who improves his decision making. He's got the talent. I really liked what I saw when I watched him in December.
He completed less than 60% of his passes in back-to-back seasons.
That's pretty bad.
But not good. Chan Gailey, if anybody's going to be able to help him, I guess it would be Chan Gailey to help maybe with the inconsistency.
Chan Gailey turned an offense led by Jade Fiedler into the number 8 offense in terms of points scored in the league. He got Ryan Fitzpatrick $60 million. We've talked about Chan Gailey and what he's done.
Tyler Thigpen.
I think he runs a system that's very similar to what Geno Smith excelled at West Virginia. And when you watch Geno Smith last December, he showed more in that month than Bortles, I think, or Carr did in their entire seasons. Geno Smith shows you things. I mean, he can move in the pocket very well. I mean, he has better pocket movement than a lot of guys who are very good starting quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, guys like that.
He can move in the pocket, but he moves too much in the pocket.
I think
he's not calm by any stretch.
When pressure gets on him, that's the big
problem.
And he was protected very well in the last month, which was a problem.
When I watched Vikings and Jets in December, I thought there was a major difference between Teddy Bridgewater and Geno Smith in feel for the pocket and just knowing the position. Teddy Bridgewater seemed more like a guy who's going to be a great quarterback than Geno Smith.
I agree with that. There's no argument to that. I think Geno Smith can be a solid quarterback, and people treat him like he's a punchline. And I think he has a chance to just be a good valuable mid-level starter.
If you watch those last four or five games, he was exactly that level, with the exception of, of course, the Week 17 Dolphins game where he was, you know, Joe Montana and Aaron Rodgers combined. So you throw that out. But you look at the whole picture and...
But why throw it out?
Well, you don't throw it out, but
he made unbelievable throws all day. People are like, well, that didn't count. You know, the game didn't count. It was the season. That doesn't matter. They're going against NFL players.
But don't let it suck you in.
Why not?
Because there's 16 games, and in 11 or 12 of them, he was crap. So, he's inconsistent. And also, the biggest thing with me and Geno Smith is he has showed no ability to shake off bad performances or bad throws. He lets things snowball on him, and that does not work for any quarterback, especially in the market he plays in.
Week 8, guys, back to week 8, actually. Yeah. Ah. That was the week he was benched for Michael Vick.
There were a lot of low moments.
That was one of the worst performances ever.
That was awful.
If you want to talk about Week 17, you got to talk about Week 8 when he threw 3 interceptions and 7 passes and got benched in the first quarter.
Young quarterbacks sometimes go through these where they reach a low, and I think the low for him was the Monday Night Football game where Rex Ryan wouldn't let him pass, where he only threw the ball 13 times.
That was so awful.
Quite an indictment.
Right, and they ran it 49 times. And after that, he had 4 really good weeks. And when you said he's been inconsistent, that's fair. But for that month, he was wildly consistent. I would say he was very steady, and then he had the great final week. He didn't make bad decisions. He led the league in yards per attempt in December, tied with Teddy Bridgewater.
It's getting physical.
HR.
In my experience, one of the biggest mistakes people make in quarterback evaluation with young players is expecting a late season improvement to carry over to the next season. It rarely happens, in my experience.
It happened with Geno Smith as a rookie. He played pretty well in December, and people expected him to make a jump, and it didn't happen. A lot of it, for me, is the situation with Gailey and a lot of talent around him. I mean, that's a good group. That's a good group he's throwing to and a great defense. So if they're winning games 20-17, Geno Smith's going to get some of the credit. He's shown more talent, I think, than people think. That's what I mean.
That's fair. He's got a good arm. He can move in the pocket. If he needs to get yards on his feet, he can do that. He has the tools.
He goes through his reads. He shows things that mature quarterbacks show. That Jay Cutler has never thrown a receiver open in his life. He never goes through his reads 2, 3, 4. I mean, Geno Smith kind of sits back there and he does the sort of things that you would like out of a quarterback.
How do you think Brandon Marshall and him will be together?
Well, they're roommates, so right off the bat.
Great.
Yeah.
Check.
I think the first year of Brandon Marshall is usually a nice little honeymoon period.
They're riding tandem bicycles together and sharing rowboats in the park.
You got Eric Decker. You got Jason Morrow. You got Devin Smith. You got Jeremy Curley.
All right, let's play the over-under game, Brandon Marshall. 70 receptions.
Over.
Yeah, over.
1,000 yards.
I'll go over.
Over.
Six. I'll go under, just for the sake of argument.
All right.
6 touchdowns.
I'll take the over.
I'll go over.
I'll go
I think
over.
They'll feed him the ball.
That's a nice season, especially for the Jets, who haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver. Well, they haven't had many in a long time.
Brandon Marshall's supposed to get 13 or 1,400
yards. Especially 100 catches. Even with Decker across from him.
Wait, didn't we all agree that he's out of the superstar club?
Yeah.
So we shouldn't expect that. I'm just trying to keep things.
Yeah, I think like an 1,100 yard type of.
That's all I'm asking for.
Season.
But I'm also asking for Eric Decker to be better. If those two guys have around 2,000 yards combined, and you throw a little Curly and Devin Smith does something.
I think Decker will be better.
Decker was fine, wasn't he? It was just a hamstring injury.
His stats in week 17, he had over 200 yards receiving. It made a lot of things look better, but he had some
times where he disappeared.
But he was torching Brent Grimes and Rashad Jones. Like, why doesn't that count? It's a football game. You know what I mean?
Did the Dolphins pack it in?
I don't think so. They were trying to. They almost won the game.
They made Geno Smith look like Aaron Rodgers and Joe Montana. You said
it was a pretty bad performance.
So Greg says the Geno coaster becomes potentially the Geno scale.
Wow.
Could that happen? This time next year, can we talk about Geno Smith as the guy that is the prime meridian? And if that's the case, Chan Gailey gets all the money.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
See, I was thinking it was more like Geno is going to be like the train that your kids ride at, you know, if you ever go to Griffith Park, for instance. Kind of like the little train ride kids are on. You know, very steady, a little boring. You get your $2 worth. Kids are happy with them. Nothing too fancy.
The Dalton train?
No, the Geno.
I thought you were comparing Geno Smith to the band Train, which also sounded realistic. That seemed like it was possible. A fair comparison.
I think he makes the leap if he survives 16 games without getting benched.
Exactly. That's my
A lot of faint praise in the room right now.
It's not about faint praise.
That's what he inspires.
It's about that people decide on a player so early without, I don't think, watching him necessarily. They just want to say, okay, Geno Smith's a bum. He's a punchline in New York. And, you know, I don't think he's been that bad.
Isn't that what happens to quarterbacks in New York?
Yeah.
Tebow, Sanchez.
And Fitzpatrick's there, too, and he's been with Chan Gailey before. So if things do go south for Geno, it'll be really easy to bench him.
The one thing that made me a little worried, one of our security guards here at the company was a teammate of Geno Smith. And he said, you know, initially at West Virginia, Geno Smith kind of came in with the I'm better than everyone attitude.
Is this one of your sources for your making the leap piece? Security guard
deep
at the
throat.
Company?
He actually came up to me after the piece because he said he read
in
it.
A dark
he
parking
likes
garage?
Geno. He thinks he's going to do well, but it worried me. He said he was a little overconfident, had a little trouble winning the room
if
over at
Rayshon,
first.
If it's Rayshon, I believe you.
You're on it. See? Cully knows.
Source exposed. All right, so that's making the leap. And you can read all of our Making the Leap pieces at NFL.com/Making the Leap. Total guess, is it true?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yes! Vanity URLs are the best. You can read all of Colleen's work, NFL.com/Colleen's Secrets.
That's it, yep. Mm-hmm.
You should
it's
write.
It's a diary.
I will.
You write out more notes every day
I write
day
a lot
than
of stuff.
Else. You got binders full.
Binders. I was going through my binders last night, actually, trying to find Week 8 stuff.
Colleen is fascinating to me because she has, you've told us before, you lay in bed at night, like, devising fake teams and, like, your mind. You have binders next to your bed. I mean, you are a real football head in your own right.
It's like a beautiful mind. Or, like, the, what's the show with...
But, like, after he goes really crazy.
Well, yeah, exactly. I have maps, I have pictures, it's all drawn.
Minority Report? Is that what you're thinking of?
No.
I like you having some high-tech equipment.
Yes. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
No, that's close.
I like this revelation. I don't feel so weird now.
No. And I'm trying to go digital and get away from the binders, but I can't. I'm having a hard time with
millennials refusing to go digital.
Total millennial move. All right, so that's it, Making the Leap. Keep reading them. All a lot of great work.
Doesn't
and Greg's Around the NFL debut. Really good work. So... We move forward. All right, so let's do it. We talked about this last year. I'm sure we got everything right. So let's do it again. Let's nail it. Who is not a contender to win the Super Bowl? And the shadowy league figures, you know, this is not the type of segment that they want us to do because you want all the fans to have hope that you're going to win a Lombardi trophy. You want to be the 99 Rams. You want to be the 2001 Patriots. But it's not going to happen for these teams, is it, Greg?
That's what we're here to do, squash some hopes.
So why don't we just go through the divisions one by one and rule out, and I think we should set some ground rules. If you think the team can make the playoffs, and maybe the Bengals are an outlier, Wes, in your case, you can't say that they have no chance because then they're in the dance.
Totally disagree with you.
If you're in the dance, you can win it.
There's a major difference between being a playoff contender and a Super Bowl contender. You get exposed in the playoffs if your quarterback isn't good enough.
No chance, you're saying.
The Jets don't have a chance.
To me, this is more about...
I disagree.
This is more about teams that have no chance, that it would be absolutely stunning if they even made the playoffs and they have no chance.
Well, then we have to call it something else.
You know, we did the same thing last year and you didn't have a problem with it.
I don't recall this, but there's a difference
between
a Super Bowl contender and a playoff contender.
By the way, it was Homeland what I was thinking about earlier, and Kerry. Oh. Yeah,
all right, there you go.
I had to get it off my chest.
I think it's really about being a contender at all, being a contender for anything.
All right, Wes, clearly about to undermine this segment, but we're going to keep rolling. Wes, are the New England Patriots a contender?
Yes, they can win a Super Bowl, Dan.
Can the Buffalo Bills win a Super Bowl?
No, they don't have a quarterback.
All right. Mm. I agree with Wes. I don't think they're making the playoffs because I think the quarterback's going to bury them.
I think they could make the playoffs, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're
not going to win a Super Bowl.
I changed my answer.
What?
You said, can they win the Super Bowl? Then you asked these guys, can they win the playoffs? Oh. Can they enter the playoffs?
No, I misspoke. Can they win the Super Bowl? I don't think the Bills will make the playoffs.
We need to, on this. Are they a contender or are they a Super Bowl contender?
You're the only one that's not settled.
Greg just said we're going to do, are they a playoff contender?
Well, to me, it's one and the same because if they,
I think
the playoffs,
they're totally different.
They're in the. They're
can this team win the Super Bowl? Is the segment okay?
Sorry, out of this.
Cool.
Can the Bills win the Super Bowl? Colleen
no.
Wolf.
No.
Greg.
I'll say yes.
Very. All right.
The so Super Bowl.
This has to be unanimous.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins, can they win the Super Bowl?
No.
No.
They have to say you have no chance whatsoever to win the Super Bowl.
I don't. I think they have a chance. If Tannehill turns into a star, sure.
I like to live in a world where just unpredictable things happen because it happens every year. Maybe not lately in the NFL.
I'd love for the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Sorry, I'm going back to that. But
you'd love for them. You'd wish they would.
Yeah.
But do you think it's even a possibility?
To me, this is an exercise in picking,
so good.
In picking the worst of the worst and the teams that really have no legitimate hope this season.
That's what we should call it then.
Yeah.
All right.
So the Raiders, they're out.
So this is not who is not a contender. This is who has no hope. Is that better?
I just think we should define our parameters. Is that so wrong?
All right. Who has no hope? The Cleveland Browns, yes or no? Hope?
Like a reverse of the AD scale where Dan's trying to play something
and
he doesn't get it.
Interesting.
I get it, but I think we should have a definition. I don't know.
So we think the entire AD scale.
But this is the equivalent of me understanding the AD scale last June and then not understanding it this June.
So
this
the
is
Browns,
making for
no
great
hope.
Podcast.
No hope for the Browns.
No hope. I think, do we agree that there's no hope for the Browns to win the Super Bowl in 2015?
They're out.
All right, good. All right, the Browns, that's one. The Ravens, Bengals, or Steelers. Now, Wes, do you think there's any hope at all that the Bengals can win the Super Bowl?
No.
What do you guys think?
No way.
I don't think there's any hope that they can get past the first round of the playoffs.
Now, this is one. It's an interesting situation that Wes brings up. I think this is one team. He's right. Of course they have enough talent to make the playoffs, but I'm not living in any world where Andy Dalton wins the Super Bowl.
We used to say that about Eli, didn't we?
Well, we were wrong then.
Also,
I didn't say that.
They have a really tough schedule this year for the season.
Tough division, no hope.
All right, Bengals, no hope. the Colts, they have hope. The Houston Texans,
no.
I don't like that quarterback situation.
I don't think they have any hope.
No, Texans, no hope. Jaguars and Titans, not ready yet, right?
Nope.
All right.
They're at least a year away from being in the conversation, I would say.
I think the Texans have what's the most dangerous thing, which is too much hope. That's when people get in big trouble.
Yeah, they
also think they're ready to go to the next level when they're really closer to that 5 or 6 win level.
Yeah, they're closer to falling off because the schedule's a lot harder. Yeah,
maybe Ryan Mallett's going to be amazing.
I'd be surprised.
And then everything lines up for them.
I'd be surprised if he even plays.
Yeah. I mean, it's a
suddenly Wes such a believer in Hoyer that he can keep the job all season long.
No, I mean, I think Mallett will play at some point, but I don't think he'll start the season.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so in the AFC West, the Broncos, obviously the Raiders will add on this list. We have to, right? The Chargers and Chiefs, two interesting teams for this. Can the Chargers, there is some hope with Philip Rivers involved, right? Although he's never gotten
there. You have Philip Rivers at quarterback and some talent on defense, which they do if everything came together. They have a chance.
Melvin Gordon helps out Philip Rivers, so hopefully.
Green light the Chargers.
Work, yeah.
All right, how about the Chiefs?
I can't do that.
The Chiefs are not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
I don't think that just adding Jeremy Maclin, having that him and Andy Reid back together, that's not going to solve Alex Smith not being able to get any offense sparked for them.
I'll allow the Chiefs.
In what way?
It could happen.
So you're blocking them.
A block.
They have hope.
You're saying hope?
I think they have hope.
That's Andy Reid doesn't know how to run the ball, and he has Jamal Charles, and he is terrible at clock management.
I can't believe I'm sticking up for the Chiefs because I can't stand watching them. I think they're incredibly boring, and they're not nearly as good as a guy like Damashek says every year they are, but Alex Smith, look at the game he had against Andrew Luck in the playoffs a couple of years ago. He was phenomenal in that game.
Andy Reid, I feel like, is going to have the most underwhelming, improved tenure that a coach can have. He absolutely took a situation that was terrible, improved them immediately. They're staying improved, and yet, is this, is it really that exciting that you got Andy Reid?
This team is like watching paint dry.
It's really boring.
They're incredibly boring.
Andy Reid's proven he can win 10, 11 games as a coach.
Yes.
He's pretty good at that. I mean,
he's like
that's
the Marvin Lewis of the AFC
West. He's like a much better version of Marvin Lewis, yeah.
Let's move to the NFC East, where the Cowboys and Eagles, I think we both agree there's some chance, right?
Yes.
Okay, how about the Giants of New York?
I've already seen it happen.
I'm going to say yeah.
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 I don't believe
Greg, we know you know they can win.
I don't believe
you know? Storm clouds.
I can't believe this Odell Beckham Jr.
Different team.
Hate that you have all of a sudden.
I wouldn't call it hate. I just
Is that blown over?
Mentally weak. Like Jay Cutler.
It was a sign of mental weakness. I think that doesn't mean that's who he's doomed to be forever, but
sounds like you guys made up.
I haven't reached out to him. Steve Smith changed the locks on his penthouse.
No, that's true. We could have the Redskins on this list, right?
They have no hope.
No
hope at all. Sorry, guys. NFC North, the Packers. Obviously, they're fine. How about the Lions?
I think they have hope.
They have hope. Absolutely.
I'm going with history. They're 0-49. No hope.
I'm not really into it.
They
I
got
know.
Jobbed out of a playoff win last year. Who knows? They could have been in the Super Bowl.
I just don't think that they can completely rely on Matt Stafford either. And they have Joique Bell, who's coming off, what, Achilles and knee injury.
They've got Amir Abdullah.
Right. So if he hits, that's good. But they need something. They need some type of running game because they can't just rely on him.
I have faith in Amir.
It would be stunning if they won the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford and Jim Caldwell as their coach. But like, they have enough talent and they have a top-ranked defense from a year ago and they have a quarterback. Is it crazier than the 2012 Ravens? Was that the year they won? That was the right.
But that top-ranked defense, Sue and Fairley, are both gone.
Yeah.
All right. Now, go ahead. You got
that's it. That's it. That's all.
Do you have the story like TD had before?
Well,
I don't know the story.
Here's one I want you guys to be careful with because I think they have some team of around the NFL buzz, which is all good. But can they actually, you know, win the Super Bowl? I don't know. But this is about who has hope or who doesn't have hope. I don't know anymore. The Minnesota Vikings. We love the Vikings around here, it seems like.
I would not rule them out.
I wouldn't rule them out.
There's hope.
I'd put them in there.
You got Mike Zimmer. Maybe that could be a top five defense with Adrian Peterson, a frisky young quarterback.
I like Trey Wayans they added with Xavier Rhodes.
They got a chance.
Corners are good.
They got a chance.
I heard a lot of good stuff about Michael Kendrick's brother.
Eric Kendrick's going to be a three-down starter. I don't like all the buzz, though, for them. That immediately is making me recoil from them as a potential team.
They got that team of ATN Heat. I would call them the early, not favorite, but they're in the mix, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know?
They're in the mix.
All right, the Bears, obviously, we could put on this list, right?
Yeah,
no they have them Chicago. Out.
Yeah. All right, how about anybody in the NFC South? The Panthers, is their hope to win the Super Bowl? The Saints?
Yes.
I think any team with a top 10 quarterback, and I'd put Newton, Breeze, and Ryan in that
I place. Don't think the Falcons have a chance.
No.
Their offensive line and their defense are still a mess.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'm gonna say they have a chance.
Blocked!
If the Lions have a chance, the Falcons have a chance.
How are they even comparable? The Lions have a much more talented roster.
I don't know if you ever saw Tony Sperano when he buried the ball, but you need to bury the 2014 ball. That season's over. This is a new season. You never know what's
talking about roster composition.
Right, but it's a 53-man thing. You get a couple lucky bounces. You got the key couple
guys.
Well,
why not just put the Jaguars in?
Well, that's just crazy.
I just feel like the Falcons can never get over that hump. And they have these great players. They have Julio there, and Matt Ryan's good for them.
The thing is, they only have like four or five good players in the whole roster.
Yeah.
I'm giving them a chance.
We put the Bucks on this list, right?
They have no chance.
They're out.
No chance.
Putting them on the list.
No hope. All right, in the NFC West, is there anyone, the only one that I'll even bring up is the Rams. Do the Rams have any hope at all of winning the Super Bowl?
I think they can be a playoff team, so yeah.
I don't think so. I think that they probably have the worst offense in the NFL.
Based on the teams we've put in for having some hope, I think I'm throwing the Rams in there.
Okay.
49ers not even going to mention.
The 49ers. Sorry, I'm used to them being good for so long, I forgot that they deserve
I don't think
discussed.
They have any
hope. I would put the Rams in before the 49ers.
I put the I wouldn't.
They're coming out of the NFC West, one of those teams? No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say the Niners have hope. Wow, what a turn of events in Studio 66.
Stunning finale.
All right, we'll read it off now. Again, this is it. These teams have no chance of winning the Super Bowl. TD, can we get any type of, I don't know.
Like piano music?
Maybe some doom or a little taps or anything.
Taps.
Funeral-esque. The Cleveland Browns. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Houston Texans, the Jaguars, Titans, Raiders, Redskins, Bears, Bucks.
Is this a brogue?
49ers. You got no hope.
It's shocking that the Bengals are on that list, but the Falcons are not.
That's 10. The doomed 10.
I think the only team on that list that can be happy are Titans fans. They got their name back.
They did. They got it back. They don't got hope.
We should bury the list.
Hope.
They're no longer the Titans.
Much rather watch the Titans than the Chiefs.
Mm. All right. We'll never speak of that segment again. moving on now. Let's get Kevin Patrick on the line. Kevin Patrick coming at you. He was at the, or is he still there? Or is he home now?
He's at the symposium.
At the rookie symposium. Greg, just leaving him there, just having him getting all that info.
Dan clearly hasn't read a thing from Patrick all week.
That's not true. All the stuff has been excellent. He's been all over it. Kevin is at the rookie symposium. He's been traveling across the Midwest with the rookies, according to Greg. And let's get him on the line. Patrick, are you there?
What's going on, fellas?
There he is. Listen to that voice.
Great to have you back on the show, Kevin Patrick, coming at you. What is the middle of Ohio like this time of year?
I'm standing in a light mist right now, so I can get self-service outside.
Nice.
It literally is the middle of nowhere. I looked on Uber last night, and the closest Uber was 34 minutes away.
Wow. How are you getting to the gym?
Oh, exactly.
He's doing like the hot guy in the hotel move. Where he like jimmies up some type of pull-up bar and then just goes to town for hours.
You do it on the door, man. You got pull-ups on the door.
There you go. Everyone and you turn up the heat to 90. Hey, I was thinking of you, by the way. I was watching the True Detective season 2 premiere. And spoiler alert, Colin Farrell, the detective, is a little dirty. And to get even, he puts on some brass knuckles and delivers a knuckle sandwich.
It's so good.
And I couldn't help but think of you. Do you have brass knuckles, yes or no?
I do not. I don't fight dirty.
Nunchucks.
No nunchucks.
All right.
Have you gotten into any verbal confrontations with any of these rookies this week?
Verbal confrontation?
Or no, how about conversations?
Yeah, let's use that word.
I got in a few conversations. Actually, when I got here, I was thinking of this symposium is about, you know, I'm supposed to be about learning professionalism in your life and work. And I was wondering if that was a subtle hint from Greg. That's the reason he sent me here.
I really wanted Kevin to go to all the classes of, like, how to take care of your money. You know, how to be responsible, you know, get a driver. Really, it might be good for the entire Around the NFL crew to go.
Would not be the worst thing in the world.
Can you have a Around the NFL symposium?
I would
voluntarily sign up for that one.
Patrick, so you've kind of been trailing these guys. Is there anything you've seen, whether it just be like, you know, something that they did or watching someone speak with someone else in the media or that you spoke with them that kind of surprised you?
Well, I think the one thing I've noticed that this whole thing is kind of like the professional version of Scared Straight. So they've got a lot of good guys, like, you know, Warwick Dunn was in there today. Cecil Moore had a great story about one time he almost flipped out and left the team. And they're just kind of like telling him, like, this is real life now. It's not playtime. And I thought it was all really interesting and trying to get these guys to think about, like, with things that could go bad, like the party's now over. This is real. And it's been really interesting. And from that perspective,
that sounds like a post Cecil Moore almost quit football. You know, this is the middle of June.
Who's Cecil Moore? The Raiders guy.
That was the bare minimum. I mean, there's so much more to his story that's fascinating.
Who was the guy? Because in those Scared Straight, there's always one Scared Straight guy that stands apart from the rest. I know Chris Carter's been doing this for a while now. Who delivered kind of the strongest message where it appeared like it really got through to the kiddos?
Well, I think Chris Carter probably was that guy. I mean, he always kind of captures the audience, especially these young kids who grew up watching him. I mean, we got to think these guys are, you know, 21, 22-year-olds. So when it would first be just a moderator talking about, like, the circumstance, they kind of pushed back. But then when you had these professional, you know, former pros up there talking about it, or current pros, Brandon Marshall was here as well. They kind of like, you kind of got to like, oh shit, it's real.
You traveled around with him at the Hall of Fame. What was that like, that day where you, it was just kind of like Kevin Patra was almost a member of the class of 2015 here.
I don't know about all that, but you know, it was interesting to see them interact with, like, you know, things that they would have not seen. I haven't seen. I just realized that Marcus Mariota reminded me of Professor the whole time. Quietest guy in the group. Mm. You know, he had his backpack, his glasses on.
I saw him at one point getting some paperwork. They had some B-roll type thing, and he looked like, you know, the soft-spoken college sophomore going to the 8 a.m. class. I don't know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but that doesn't strike you as a star when you look at him.
No, but here, what my point of being, talking to some guys this week, you know, that are more, you know, that are louder. For me with Mariota, that's who he is, and that's perfectly fine. That's who I'd want. If you're that guy in camera, you're that guy in the rest of your life. That's perfectly fine, because that's who you are when the spotlight shows. You are who you are. So if he's a calm demeanor that he's going to be in the pocket, that's fine. If he's that everywhere else in life, as long as you're not a phony, that's cool by me.
Who did you like the most that you talked with?
I still like Shane Ray. That's my guy since the draft to now. I still think he's honest. He's taking everything on. He's not afraid to say anything. And like I said, that's who he is. So I don't feel like he's lying or faking his way through anything. And I respect that.
Patra, always a straight shooter. That's his whole thing. Ain't no BS when Kevin Patra's around. When are you getting back to Chicago, by the way?
Tomorrow night.
All right. Well, you have a safe journey, and you know, get back into the gym. You know, you got to be in that routine to keep up what's going on under that
100%
shirt.
100% true.
All right, good. All right, buddy. Thank you very much for taking some time to talk to us.
Appreciate it, fellas.
There he is, Kevin Patra, coming at you from what's so funny was.
He was so earnest about it. 100% true.
He is. He's, you know, that's Patra. He's the straightest shooter, you know, I think, of the group. You just, what you see is what you get, and he's going to deliver some earnest Midwest heat.
You sound condescending when you're saying that.
Why?
I was so shocked.
Not at all.
When I met him, because I really thought he was going to be this big, like...
He like is, Colleen.
Gym rat kind of guy. Not at all.
He's not Nitro from American Gladiators.
With you without Colleen. He pumps him up.
Yeah, he
so
had
much.
Like glasses on.
Yeah, I think we were all, even, you know, those of us who had met and know Kevin Patrick, we're all a little taken aback when Dan first started talking about his body publicly and privately.
Have you?
We didn't quite understand.
Have
it.
You ever heard of Clark Kent?
Yes.
That's who you met.
Oh, that would make sense.
All right.
Total sense.
Finally, we have one more around the NFL correspondent to get on the horn. And, you know, again, this is a new segment. It's a segment that allows Connor Orr an opportunity. It affords him an opportunity to publicly air a grievance. Really, it's therapeutic for him. It's really, yes, it's entertaining for us and hopefully the listeners. But it's also, as Greg, I'm sure would agree with, it's good for his writing to get out this anger, and then he can go about his day-to-day business.
Everyone has to get their complaints out before they can just freshly write another story about
a little bit.
Jameis Winston.
Right, so that is why we have introduced this segment, and we're bringing it back. It is, Are You Kidding Me? Connor Orr, are you there, buddy?
What's going on?
Hey. Oh, there he is. Now, Connor on vacation last week. You don't know if he's going to be able to bring the same fire. Of course, he was taking shots at Ray Romano in the inaugural Or Are You Kidding Me? But this time around, Connor, you know, I think you have a different message to impart.
Yeah. You know, I think before I went on vacation, a friend of mine invited me up to Manhattan to hang out. And they said... First, they said that they were on the Lower East Side, and then they said that we'd be going somewhere in the meatpacking district, and so I just didn't go.
You just didn't go?
No, because, you know what? It's just like, do I have a compass, like, when I go there? Like, what? I just, you know, you tell me, like, I'm at the corner of... You know,
Connor, you know the rules. When the guitar is squealing, there's no squealing from you. You got to let it play out.
I was just so furious. Like, it brought it all back. I was just
So,
your problem here is you don't like information about neighborhoods. You don't like neighborhoods to be named. You just would rather have it be all just Manhattan.
You created a city on a grid system, right? And then all of a sudden you just expect us. Like, I just learned that. Like, it took me like 5 years to learn that. And now I got to learn like something else. I just don't think that's fair. You're changing the rules out.
Big Apple, more like Big Fail Pole. anything else? So you, okay. It's very clear that you're saying it's self-important of Manhattan. This coming from a New Jersey guy to name its areas, things like Greenwich Village and the Upper West Side, or, oh, Hell's Kitchen, I guess, would be what you're referring to, the Meatpacking District, Soho,
whatever that is.
NoHo.
Yeah.
What's your problem with the grid system?
Right, the grid system's great. You know exactly where to go at all times.
The grid system is like the Kevin Patra of systems.
So easy.
Straightforward.
Also,
you know what it is? It's like the comedian Kevin James always had this thing about phone number rhythm. When you gave out a phone number, it was just bum bum ba, bum ba, bum ba. And that's what you should do if you have, if you live in New York. It's just
no
on
area
the corner of bum ba and bum ba.
I don't even know where he's going with this now.
Wait, so,
although Connor, you made a smart. I don't think you would like the Meatpacking District. A lot of douchey bros there.
Imagine dropping off Wes in the Meatpacking District.
I don't know what the Meatpacking District.
14th and 6th, just drop him off right there.
What? Who am I dealing with?
Collared shirts and $17 gin and tonics.
Sounds like hell.
Exactly.
Sounds like Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Mm. Connor, what was this thing about you? You refused to use a compass?
Well, you know what, like...
Do you use a compass, Wes?
Who uses a compass?
I'm on the Lower East Side. How do I know where that is?
All right,
fair enough.
All right. Well, that's a good way to end it. Connor, anti-self-important names, anti-compass, pro-grid. and of course, you got to tag it now with your question, Connor.
Or are you kidding me?
So good.
All right, that's it. Thank you, Connor. That is the second edition of Are You Kidding Me? It will hopefully, you know, be back next week. It's really up to the listeners. We love it, and the people behind the glass like it. But if the listeners don't like it, then, you know, nobody likes it.
The listeners loved it last time.
Yeah, so that is the second edition of...
Colleen loves it. I can see
I like the guitar a lot, too.
Yeah. Did you know that Connor's playing the guitar? That's plugged into an amp.
That is amazing.
Yeah, he's very talented.
Or are you kidding me?
Yeah. Beautiful. all right, that's it for Thursday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. I guess, TD, do you have anything you'd like to do before we go?
Yeah, definitely. You know, podcast MVP, that's time of the show, and I got to give it to my man, Connor. Stories, guitar instruments, I'm with it, you know.
Wow, a little bit of an upset that Colleen didn't get it, let's be honest.
Well, she's got it before, you know, like, so.
I don't think I have.
Ooh, wow.
That's all right. I'm just going to have a chip on my shoulder now.
That was awkward. TD just mistook Colleen for Lindsay, who did win the MVP.
Oh!
Yeah. It smells sexist back there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Little weird.
Wow. Well, I got this for you, Colleen.
A little weird.
Well, that's good.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
She's
never heard that before.
Have you made any negative tweets about women's sports recently, too, while you're at it?
You know what?
All right. That's it. We will be back. Thank you, TD. We will be back on Tuesday, Greg. Would that be accurate to say?
No, it would be Monday.
It would be Monday. We'll be back on Monday with another two shows. We'll have another special guest. Colleen, thank you.
This was great.
So much for joining us, and we will see you in the Now studio. This is Dan Hanza signing off for the Wolf Woman, the Mailman, the Boss, and everybody behind the glass. Until next week.